Welcome to week number 240 of the Two Guys in the Fridays podcast. My name is Steven. That over there is Travis.
Hey there, Steve.
What's up? How's it going?
Chilling. Yeah. How are you, man?
Fine.
Good.
Welcome to the podcast, everyone.
Well, hey, welcome you to the podcast, Steve.
I've been here for a while. We're 240 episodes in now.
240.
Thanks to Harmonix, who's been here for a while too, with the theme song this week.
Thanks, Harmonix. That was great.
TGIFcast@gmail.com. If you want to send in your own version of the theme song at TGIFcast on all social media, if you want to follow us for the occasional post.
Yeah, you should do that.
Just one episode this week. We had reruns on Family Matters, on Step by Step, on Hanging with Mr. Cooper. So just a brand new sister for you.
Sister.
What was the date this aired?
This episode would have aired Friday night, April 22nd, 1994.
Would you like to see what was going on in the world that week, 30 years ago? I got some stories for you.
Some stories, eh?
I mean, I guess I usually go in chronological order. I'll continue the trend. April the 18th, 1994. I'm sure at least Laura and probably Estelle were pretty upset about this one.
Okay.
Arsenio Hall announces he will end his late night TV talk show in May of 94. So he's only got a few shows left.
Look, so here's my thing. You get all these from the same website, the like whatever happened, blah, blah, blah
on
website.
This day, yeah.
Yeah. So they will sit here and chronicle in detail the
But
the
they'll ending, miss something else, sure.
Yeah, the ending of a late night television show. Not even, this isn't even his last episode or like.
He made the announcement. He's like, hey guys, I just want to say we're ending the show.
But the death of Kurt Cobain is somehow not on this list.
Look. They might miss one or two things here and there.
That's a huge thing.
At least I have something to use.
It's true. It is true. You're working with the tools you have, and I appreciate that.
April the 19th. I got another story for you.
Go for it. Don't let me hold you up.
Oh, wait. That's not an order, though. I got to go this way, I think, first. Well, because this is kind of like a story that happened on the 18th and then the 22nd. All right. So this is a 4-day story kind of thing, but it starts on the 18th, ends on the 22nd. Former U.S. President Richard Nixon suffers a stroke on the 18th, passes away on the 22nd.
Okay. That's all newsworthy. That's a good one.
April the 19th. They keep coming. Rodney King, we talked about him a lot, I think 92-ish, but he was awarded $3.8 million compensation by the LA County for the beating that took place back in 92, I believe.
Probably deserved more than that.
Yeah, he might have. But with inflation, I mean, that's like $85 billion, I think.
I don't know.
And finally, the most important story of the week, April the 22nd, 1994. Ready for this one?
Don't know now.
I'm trying to find the details again.
I was until you asked me if I was ready.
Are you worried?
A little bit.
3,011 pounds.
Oh, man.
Denmark. The world's largest lollipop was made.
Lollipop.
The record has since been broken, but on April 22nd, 94, that was the biggest one.
You said in Denmark?
Denmark. At the Bon Bon Candy Factory.
All right. Good for you, Denmark. Congratulations.
I think Bon Bon's made a comeback recently. I could be wrong about that, but...
Did they ever go away?
No, like real popular all of a sudden.
Unless I mean, are bonbons just like truffles?
I think there's multiple bonbons, possibly, but I think it's just a candy factory that does a bunch of different stuff, I believe.
Is this like a TikTok thing?
I think it's a TikTok thing recently with like their sour candy or something. It could be a different bonbon, too. But
you mean like a brand, like bonbon
a brand. Yeah, yeah.
Something. Oh.
And there could be more than one. But yeah, I mean, maybe you could try to beat that new Lollipop record. Which?
Why would I do that? I have no interest in that record.
World record. Let's see what the biggest is now. Well, there's one that was 7,000 pounds that doubled the last one.
Doubled it. Woo! See, I got nothing in this fight.
Sees candy in the USA. USA! Burling, Burlingame, California.
Where the Pez Museum is. Yeah, sure.
Pez Museum and apparently Sees Candy's lollipop factory.
Okay, I did not know that. I've been to the Pez Museum.
Should have walked a few blocks more.
I mean, it's a really cute little town.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah, right outside San Francisco.
Oh, well, that's all I got for news this week. What about movies and music? What was number one?
No change on the song. It is still R. Kelly's Bump and Grind. So we have a few more weeks of that one.
Right.
New movie, though. Four Weddings and a Funeral.
I know that is a movie that exists. Yes. I've heard of it. I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's a good rom-com. It's, you know, I was reading the Wikipedia page just to see, I don't know, because one of the notes on the movie site was that it got to number one in its sixth week of limited release. Okay. So I was like, that's interesting that it was in limited release and then it became a number one movie. So I was trying to dig into that a little bit. Evidently, this had like a super grassroots kind of situation where they only had it in like five theaters.
Didn't it have a decent cast?
It has a really good cast. Well, so in retrospect, yes. So in 19, this was like Hugh Grant's first movie in the U.S., like okay. First big movie in the U.S. Annie McDowell was still, I mean, she was a big deal, I guess, but still kind of like early. And then like it had a lot of these British folks that like we know now, we see now, we recognize now, but weren't.
So it's a pretty British movie.
It's a very British movie.
That's why it was limited release, I guess.
It was limited release, yeah. So five theaters, and evidently it just
five,
and evidently it just did like incredible, and so they started to like slowly tick it up. And Hugh Grant did a press tour in the United States, and it was really, really likable, really fun, really friendly, and that led to him getting really popular really quickly.
Hmm.
And so within 6 weeks, they put it in like, you know, nationwide theaters, and it was number one.
Wow, good for yeah. those people.
Like a real like grassroots kind of thing going on there, you know.
All right,
I will say Annie McDowell, not my favorite in this, but it's a good movie. She wasn't that. She was kind of.
What else was she in?
Well, she's also in a movie we're going to talk about next week. But that's a movie that I honestly do not remember at all. She's probably, let's see, like best known. I know
the name. I just can't think of what she's in.
Groundhog Day. You'd recognize. Okay. She's the lady from Groundhog sure. Day. That's probably. And she was the wife in Multiplicity. She's got a lot of like kind of. I guess not as many as I thought, or like as many recognizable off the top of my head as I thought. But
Keith, Sex Lies and Videotape. Keith is yelling at us right now. Why didn't Keith? He's like, why didn't you name this movie?
I mean, I can read you. Nah, Keith, it makes you feel better. I can just read her.
He'll Saint be Elmo's
right. Fire, Sex Lies and Videotape.
That's probably Green good. Card, Saint Hudson Elmo's Fall, Fire is what he was yelling at us for.
Shortcuts, Groundhog Day, you know, Multiplicity, Michael. Like, I can. I'm still skipping ones, but I can.
Sorry.
Anyways. So yeah, and then Mr. Bean's in it, and his scene, he's only in it for like one scene. He plays a priest at one of the four weddings, and he's hilarious. I thought he was funnier in that like 5 minute scene than he's ever been in Mr. Bean.
What? That's not possible.
I don't really care for Mr. Bean the show, but he is hilarious in this movie.
So. I was a big Mr. Bean fan. Wasn't he on PBS?
Yeah, probably. I feel like all those British shows come were on PBS.
You were a PBS kid.
I was a PBS kid. I was not a PBS adult watching British comedy.
Oh, that was part of the kid lineup for me for some reason.
Oh, no. 3-2-1 Contact.
You know, it might have been HBO, now that I think
Mr.
about
Wizard.
It.
Well, I don't know, Mr. Wizard was Nickelodeon. 3-2-1 Contact, Ghost Rider. That was kind of...
Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego.
Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, sure. Yep.
Any birthdays?
Right. No birthdays.
Let's get into it. We're on season one, episode 5 of Sister Sister. The name of the episode is Out Alone. They didn't do your out alone or anything like that, though. So
alone. That's all I got to do.
T and Tamara, they're heading out somewhere. They're dressed alike. Tamara doesn't really like dressing up, like, matching Tia as much as Tia likes it.
Yeah, yeah. So she asks her to change, and Tia just takes her hat off. That's good enough.
Yeah, then they do their little talking to the camera thing, and Tamara's excited because it's going to be the first time she's ever ridden a city bus, and it's a pretty big deal for her. Not a big deal for Tia, who has done it many times in her life.
Right, right. And we're going to have to, we find out that Tamara's going to have to kind of convince Ray to let her do this.
Yeah, they have not asked her dad yet, and it could be an issue. We'll see what happens. So,
right.
Theme song, we come back, we go downstairs now. Lisa's on the couch. She's made some more pillows for the couch, and Ray doesn't like them, like we kind of learned, I think, last episode, right?
Right, right. You know what I hope we see here is that slowly this she
takes
room,
over the whole room.
Yeah, she like, but slowly, like it's kind of like a background storyline that they never really talk about. But things like this happen where there's like a pillow or like another chair gets reupholstered or some random thing shows up on a shelf somewhere.
Yeah, she picks up the pillow and little Ray's underneath there. He's still in the show.
Yeah, little Ray, I'm glad he's back.
Yeah, and she thinks he's sick. He's acting a little weird. He was hanging out in his litter box all day. And she thinks that they should probably take him to the vet.
Right.
So while that's happening, Tia and Tamara, they come downstairs. We find out they're going to go see another horror movie. I think Blood Assassin. I think I'm right on
it. It might not be a horror movie. It could just be like...
Like Blade? You
know, like Kung Fu, like bloody Kung Fu movie or something.
It's probably a horror movie. They're like, I don't know if we should go see that one. They're like, there's going to be a lot of cowboys. They're like, all right, we'll just go to that one. And then...
Blood Assassin.
Tamara.
That's like a horror movie.
What?
Doesn't sound like a horror movie.
That's all they ever watch is horror movies.
And action. Tamara, I imagine it's an action
movie. Tamara quickly asks her dad if it's okay to take the bus. And he's kind of caught off guard, but he is hesitant. And he's like, I don't know, a lot of weirdos take the bus. And Lisa's like, I ride the bus. And then he just looks at her. Like, it could have been a silent diss of the week here, which would have been great. But
That would have been good. That would have been good.
They beg to go on this bus. Eventually, he agrees, and they head out. Now we're at the vet. There's a big dog there, and
Saint Bernard.
It might be Beethoven, honestly.
I tried really hard to find out if that was Beethoven, and I can't find anything that gives him any credit for being on Sister. And I did find one page though that said that. He does have an eye. First of all, the dog's name is Chris. The dog does have
this
an
dog?
IMDb page.
Or no, Beethoven.
The Beethoven. He does have an IMDb page.
He's not on
page.
That.
Just a quick reminder, he was on that one episode of Step by Step. But there's no evidence that this is Beethoven. And evidently in the movie Beethoven, Chris had 12 like stand-in stunt double St. Bernards. So the point I'm making is there's a lot of St. Bernards floating around Hollywood getting work.
I wish I would have remembered what else I watched this week because there was a reference to Beethoven in it and it was like something newer.
I don't know.
We find out the dog's name is Prince and Ray gives Prince our diss of the week.
Oh, Prince has been very depressed lately.
After hearing his last album, I can understand why.
Very funny.
On a dog, really. All right, so
I did not like that dog.
We find out Ray hates animals at this point, and most of the reason is because all of the pets he's had in his life have died.
Sure. Does he hate people?
I mean, I don't know if all the people in his life died.
They will.
Eventually, Ray will also hate people, and Lisa is still worried about little Ray, though. Not big Ray, little Ray.
Little Ray.
And she's like just pacing around. Eventually, she sits next to this lady with this giant bird cage.
Macaw, yeah.
She tries to talk to the bird, and the bird pretty much tells her she's weird to go away.
That should have been the diss of the week, a diss from a macaw.
Like I said, there were a lot of possibilities this week. Why did this lady bring this giant bird cage into the vet? Is that how people bring birds to the vet?
How else are you going to bring a bird to the vet? What's your plan? What would you do?
One of those like ones that doesn't have a 5-foot post at the bottom of it. That's what I would go with.
Just put it in a tiny little cage where it can't move.
No, the top of the cage can be the same size. But why do you need this like lamppost post on it?
Well, if the cage is the same size, just the insides of it change. Then why does it matter?
You got to fit that thing in your car.
But if it's the cage is the same size.
What are you doing? You're disassembling the pole off of it? Putting in the car?
Maybe I... Oh, you mean like the stand. I see what you mean. I see what you mean. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That was a bit much. I thought you meant like the actual cage part.
The whole apparatus.
I hear you. Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question.
We'll ask her if we ever get her on the show. She's probably dead.
She should have just done like Falconeer style and tethered it to her like wrist, you know?
Would have been fine.
Sitch.
This lady asks Ray, hey, you want to feed Rainbow cracker? Here's a cracker. And Lisa's like, yeah, do it. And this lady holds out this roll of crackers. They zoom into her hand. And every finger is either completely gone, taped up, or half of a finger. This bird is just gnawed on this thing every time it feeds it. So Ray is quickly like, nope, not me. How about you, Lisa? You want to feed it? And Lisa's like, nope, not going to do it. So
that's funny. That's good.
I liked it. Now we go to the bus. So the girls are on the bus. They're heading home from the movie. They're having a good time. They see a cute guy sit down, but he doesn't sit down. They're hoping that he's like walking to them, but he goes and sits next to some other girl. And then another set of twins comes on the bus, right?
Yeah, two ladies who are older, two twins.
They come over. They have a conversation with the girls. They talk about like how great it is being a twin and how great it is seeing another set of twins. And then Tamara starts to act like she doesn't really like being a twin as much as the other three do. Like, she gets a little annoyed sometimes, and it's really only been 5 episodes.
I don't know if that's necessarily... I would say she more just is kind of talking to them, say like, do you guys ever get sick of being twins? And that kind of really pushes the conversation forward more.
Yeah, I mean, it starts slow and then builds up, but she's like, I mean...
The older twins are like, yeah, sometimes. Sometimes I wish I was a single birth. Like, yeah, of course.
This girl's known her sister for five episodes, and she's already tired of her.
Well, maybe that says something about Tia.
You think?
Oh, Tamara.
Which one? The one who's upset or the one who's not saying anything that's getting dissed on in the corner?
That one.
All right. So the older twins get off the bus. They go to play bingo, and Tia gets real upset and goes and... I think she goes and sits on the other side of the bus.
Tamara does, right? Tamara gets upset.
I wrote Tia. Could be wrong.
It's Tamara. Tamara's the one that from the very beginning... You're right.
Tamara's the one that's acting like she doesn't care about Tia as much, and then Tia gets upset and goes and sits on the other side, I believe.
Right. You're right, it is Tia.
It's a lot to deal with. One of them does have like a little freckle or birthmark under her eye, though, which is helping a little bit for me.
Ugh, good for you, man.
So, we go back to the vet. Ray is now fighting with Wishbone. Is this actually Wishbone, or is it just the random Jack Russell?
I didn't even look. No. I don't know, man.
So
I don't think it's... Did he call him Wishbone?
No, but it's, I mean, it's a Jack Russell Terrier that's barking at Ray, and Ray's trying to fight it. And
was Wishbone on TV? Like, when was that on?
Probably pretty close.
You think so? The dog's name is Sucker.
Is what?
The dog from Wishbone, his name is Sucker.
Like the sport?
Yeah, his name is Soccer.
All right. So, the vet brings out little Ray. We find out Ray's got a UTI. And he's like, well, there's a couple options. Little Ray can either die a painful death, or there's also an option for surgery. And they're like, well, how much is the surgery? And he's like, $650, which I thought was a deal.
It was less than I thought it was going to be, but it's still a lot of money.
Lisa's like, fine, I'll pay it. And then she has to ask Ray for the money because she doesn't have $650. She actually asks him for $750, and she's like, I thought maybe I'd get myself an outfit too.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, so he's not really wanting to do this, but Lisa guilts him into it, and eventually he agrees. He's going to pay this $650 for a cat he doesn't even like that he's known for 2 days.
That's destroyed... You know, things in his house multiple times already.
Yeah, we don't even know his reaction to that suit jacket, if he even found it yet.
Right. Yeah.
Back to the bus. Tia is still upset with her sister because her sister is showing that she gets annoyed and doesn't want to be a twin as much as she does. And Tamara, she just still doesn't really get it. She doesn't understand why it's upsetting Tia or why she too doesn't get a little tired of Tamara.
Right, yeah. She's like, none of this makes sense to her at all.
So I think we get a commercial break. We come back to Tia.
Well, before we get go to commercial, yeah. Is when they make the realization that they don't recognize.
No, it was commercials in between that, I think.
No, definitely not.
No?
No, they realize they don't recognize the space, like the streets outside the window of the bus, and they realize that they are on the wrong bus and that they're lost.
Yeah, they're now lost. They're somewhere. Where do they live? Detroit.
They live in Detroit. They're in Grosse Pointe.
Somewhere in Detroit. Come back from commercial. They have now transferred buses. They're still not sure if they're on the right bus.
So real quick.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, because you're probably going to ask. You're,
I don't know.
You're probably. Go ahead. Just go ahead. You do your thing. We'll get there.
Now they don't know where they are. They don't know where they're going, and they don't know when they're going to get home at this point. And people are trying to help them get home.
Okay. So they talk to the bus driver on this bus. Yeah. And he is not very recognizable, but did you by any chance? I'm assuming you didn't since you didn't mention it. Did you recognize who it was?
Nope.
So it's Larry Wilmore, the comedian, the like pretty famous comedian now, the guy that does kind of a lot of the political commentary. I think he was on Daily Show.
Yeah, I was going to say Daily Show.
Yeah. So that's him.
Okay.
Turns out he was like one of the head writers on this show the entire time. Like a big
on Sister like, Sister?
Yeah, he was one of the kind of main production folks on the show.
So the bus driver doesn't really tell him anything, right? Or is the bus driver the one they don't understand what he says? He's unintelligible.
Yeah. I think the joke here is that you can't really understand when bus drivers talk on the bus, you know, when they do the announcements. And so it turns out that's just how this guy talks. It's not a thing, you know?
So they go back to their seats and they're trying to get help from like all these different people. And I think people are generally trying to help them, but no one is really giving them the correct information that they need. And now it seems like they're even more lost and no idea what they're going
to
do with this.
Well, the first bus, everybody's kind of giving them different directions. Everybody has their own kind of idea of how to get them to where they need to go.
Take the 18. Oh, take the 4. Don't do that. Yeah.
On the second bus, it's all Asian folks, and they end up getting directions to, not even directions, but a recommendation for a menu item at a Chinese restaurant.
They recommended beef and broccoli. Come on.
Maybe it's really good beef and broccoli.
I guess.
And then on the third bus, they start talking to this Hispanic guy, and he is speaking to them in Spanish, and it is just way too fast. It is not a...
Yeah, I mean, they're able to ask him a question in Spanish, which he understands, but it seems like he gets like so excited that they talk to him in Spanish that he talks back to them, and like you said, they have no idea what he says.
I would say they stumble through a question in Spanish. He's good enough to be able to understand what they're saying, but he can't. There's no way they're going to understand what he's saying.
We go back to the house. We see Ray and Lisa get home. They're talking about the surgery bill and everything that happened with little Ray. And then after, I don't know, like a minute or so, they're like, uh-oh, the girls aren't home. They're not in the kitchen. They're not upstairs. So they're like, where are they? And they walk over to the phone. They listen to the voicemails, and there is a voicemail. At some point, the girls got off the bus, went to a payphone, left a voicemail to let their parents know not to worry, but they're also lost.
Which was smart. Good call on their part.
Back to the bus.
Although they should have just said, here's where we are, come get us. But
and not gotten back on a bus?
Not if they don't know where they're going.
Yeah, it's probably true. This is a lot more difficult without a cell phone or Google Maps or anything like that.
Without what we have. I mean, you can just look on your phone now and figure out what bus you're supposed to be on. So,
back to the bus. T and Tamara still talking about their twin problems. But it seems like they've worked it out at this point after some talking and realizing that they both have fine point of views.
Right.
I wrote this is where the Spanish guy was, but it's fine. They ask the Spanish guy for help. He doesn't understand. They don't understand.
Oh, you're right. You're right. The Spanish guy, this is where he comes in. Yes, you're correct.
Then Lisa and Ray are in the car. They're out looking for the girls. Ray's blaming Lisa for this. Lisa's blaming Ray for this. And then they just start checking random buses, like hopping on buses, seeing if they can find them. They're like, anyone see any twins on here? And like they're like, yeah, they're in the back. And they run to the back excitedly to find the... bingo, older lady twins.
Yeah.
Who, they didn't even ask them, hey, you see any other twins? Or like they're like, oh, you're looking for twins? We saw some other twins. Not
right. Well, we don't know. We don't know that. They might. Oh, no, they don't, because they get right off the bus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back to the house. We see the girls get home. Thank the Lord. They're home. They quickly realize their parents are not there and that they're probably out looking for them. So I think they see that the phone was touched or something like that. And so,
well, I think what their plan here was to get home, delete the message that they were lost, so the parents didn't know if they hadn't already found out. And that way they could just say, oh yeah, we got home. But they realized that they had already listened to the message.
They obviously think they're in trouble. They're trying to figure out what to do, but as they are, their parents get home. Everyone hugs. Everyone's happy. Looks like it's a non-issue. Go a little later. We're in the kitchen. Ray's reading the paper. Lisa comes in. They talk about the night and how it all turned out okay. They apologize to each other for blaming each other and for calling each other names. And they decide maybe I think Ray suggests that maybe there should be a few more rules about like not riding the bus at night or something like that.
Right.
And
he's going to follow the bus. And
yeah. And then Lisa's like, we can't let these girls wrap us around their fingers. And he's like, yeah, you're right. We can't do that. And then Tamara calls down, Dad, there's a spider. And he's like, I'll be right there, and runs upstairs. And then Tia's like, Tia, or like, I need a blanket. And then her mom runs upstairs. And obviously,
they're wrapped around their finger.
Yeah. End of episode. We do get a credit scene. We're back at the vet. Lisa is picking up little Ray. Ray looks at the scar and he's like, that's an impressive incision, doctor. And he's like, yeah, the scar will go away on its own in about 2 weeks. And then they show the cat meowing with subtitles and saying it's magic marker.
Right. Because, well, and the reason is because Ray earlier in the episode says, I don't like vets.
I don't believe them.
We don't even know what they're doing.
Unless I see a scar, it can't be true.
Yeah.
Magic marker. Kinda.
A lot of times how I feel about vets, but whatever.
So they leave the vet, and then Beethoven chases Ray back in.
That's it. That's what happens.
End of episode. This is my favorite episode. What do we have coming up next week?
So full episodes next week with a little bit of a twist. So we are doing Family Matters Season 5, Episode 22, Boy Meets World Season 1, Episode 20, Step by Step Season 3, Episode 21, and Sister Sister Season 1, Episode 6. So the three regulars and then Episode 6 of Sister Sister.
Do they run Sister Sister in the 9:30 slot?
For a couple weeks, yeah.
Seems pretty late.
Well, what are you going to do? Which one of the big three, the other three, the regular three?
Are you pushing back? Yeah. Well, you can't, right?
I mean, especially when I don't know what their plan was, but when, you know, there's only a few more episodes on TGIF this season, and then we don't even see it again on TGIF until next season, halfway through.
I don't know.
That's probably the right call.
It probably is. But then where's Coop?
Coop comes back in a couple weeks.
Just taking a little break.
Taking a break, but then it comes back to the 9:30 and it hangs out there for a while. That was a pun. See what I did there? I didn't mean to do that.
Hanging out,
yeah.
It's a good one.
Good one. Anything else?
No, I don't think so.
All right. You have a good week, Steve.
You got it, dude.
TBA podcast.